When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Become a part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry with an education from Trinity School of Natural Health. Trinity graduates can empower their communities through natural health principles and techniques, whether they go into practice to guide others toward their wellness goals or open a store to sell their favorite health products. Trinity grads are equipped to change lives. With 19 online programs and flexibility to fit your busy schedule, including the popular Certified Natural Health Professional, you can get the training that helps you turn your passion into a career. And here's the best part. You can earn the certification in less than a year. From herbology to naturopathy and health coaching, Trinity allows you to make a meaningful difference by helping others live healthier, happier lives. Don't wait any longer to pursue your passion for natural health. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Welcome to Money Making Conversations. It's the show that shares the secrets of success experienced firsthand by marketing and branding expert Rashawn McDonald. I will know. He's given me advice on many occasions, and in case you didn't notice, I'm not broke. You know he'll be interviewing celebrity CEOs, entrepreneurs, and industry decision makers. It's what he likes to do. It's what he likes to share. Now it's time to hear from my man, Rashawn McDonald. Money Making Conversations. Here we go.
Welcome to Money Making Conversation. I am your host, Rashawn McDonald. It is important to stop reading other people's success stories and really start writing your own. I always tell people to leave with their gifts. That's meaning to leave with your passion, your belief of what you want to do. And don't let your age, friends, family, or coworkers stop you from planning or living your dreams. My interviews I do on Money Making Conversation consist of celebrities, CEOs, entrepreneurs, and industry decision makers. My next guest is Lindsay Davis. She is a best-selling author of The World is Awake and One Big Heart. In February, Lindsay was tapped to anchor the weekend broadcast of ABC News World Tonight. And she is also anchors ABC News Lifetime Live Prime, the network streaming even newscast. She's also correspondent for World News Tonight, Good Morning America, 2020, and Nightline. Please welcome to Money Making Conversation, the anchor of ABC's Weekend World News Tonight and ABC News Live Prime, Lindsay Davis.
Rashawn, thank you so much for having me on.
I try to get it all in. I try to get it all
in.
Yeah,
you
make
me sound really busy. Well, and I am.
The thing about it, Lindsay, is
wear a lot of hats.
You know, the thing about it, I've been in this business long enough to see faces like yours that are not normal. They're normal now, but you know, one time in this time in this industry, they weren't normal, especially a female face being normal. You know, Ed Bradley was our man at one time.
Yeah.
And then so as you start ascending, that's why I wanted to make sure people saw the body of your work. And this is only a small body of your work, but it's an important body of your work. Because you as a host, as an anchor, get to articulate our stories. And I'm pretty sure in 2020, as an African-American, as a female, and some of the stories that were put out there, how were you able to balance the actual reporting of the news and then the detachment of what you were reporting?
Well, you know what? Look, it's always about the facts. And I think that it's also about knowing what you don't know. And so I think that when you don't have a lot of variation, a lot of variety of perspectives and lenses and experiences at the proverbial table, then you're missing some of the nuance to the story, right? And some of the relevant facts get thrown aside. And so I don't think that I'm coloring it, if you will, with anything, except that I do come with the perspective and the experience of being a Black woman in America. And so I think that I may have certain questions that I'm going to ask or that I'm going to lean into based on my own experience. And I think of, as you talk about how we haven't had many people who look like me. That was why it was so important on my first night when I assumed the chair of Weekend World News Tonight on Sundays. I had an interview that I did with Carol Simpson, who was the first Black woman to anchor mm-hmm. any network newscast back in the 80s. And, you know, I look forward to the day. My son is 7, and I look forward to when he grows up that we won't still be talking about, well, this was the first or the second, right? Because hopefully the idea and the ideal will be that enough people at that point would have ascended to various ranks that it just becomes, oh, another person, right? And right. And so for my son, I really do look forward to where it becomes so commonplace that we're not still counting, you know, the first or the second.
You know, it's really interesting, especially entertainment. You know, I remember when Steve Harvey and I, way back in 93, when he had his first opportunity, ABC offered him his first sitcom. And I remember he came to me, said, Rashawn, ABC wants me to do a sitcom. I went, you? A sitcom? Because it was just so far, I could not even fathom somebody I knew, Black man, he was a comedian, popular comedian, was being offered a TV show on ABC. Mm-hmm. It was a pilot at the time. And then I fast forward, and as you're aspiring to these heights of wanting to be on the news, wanting to deliver the news, be a face of the news, a face in media, what was that journey like in college and your friends and your peer groups when you telling them this is what you wanted to do?
Sure. You know, I think that I've had the luxury or the benefit of having, especially within my own home, and so not just my parents, but in the extended family as well, where there was an expectation that you could do what you wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And so I never felt limited or constrained because of my race or gender, because there was a mindset that if you want to do it, if you want to run for president, run for president. Mm-hmm. You know, no one was really telling me the likelihood of success or how it was going to be so much more difficult or so much harder, or no one has done this before or whatever. It was just like, hey, you want to do that? Here's some tools. We're going to give you some exposure, some opportunities, and you run with it and you take it as far as you can. And so when I decided when I was in college that I wanted to become a journalist at the time, in particular, a reporter, you know, my parents were just like, okay, what do we have to do? What do you have to do? And so at the time, you still had to get a college credit for an internship. And I had missed that opportunity because I was about to graduate. I was at University of Virginia. So then I did what I've told subsequently that I had my parents pay $50,000 so I could get an internship, because I went to NYU for grad school to get a master's. You don't need to have a master's to be a journalist. But at the time, I needed to get that extra year in order to get an internship and to get credit for it. I would say that anything that I needed, my parents were there right along with me, anticipating that, you know, if I wanted to do this, it could be done. And my friends never batted an eye. I mean, I think that there was just this mindset of if you, you know, work hard and put your mind to it, you know, you can achieve. And so I'm glad that I didn't have the naysayers too loudly in my ear.
But you know, they are there. I was just reciting some of my experiences. I remember when I left IBM to pursue a career as a stand-up comedian. Of course, it's totally opposite from the news. People look at, you're going to be a comedian. I thought I would be the next Eddie Murphy or somebody great like that. Richard Pryor had it. Nobody could ever be him. He was like the Michael Jordan of comedy. But it was always, you know, people didn't stand in my way, but they always went, okay. But then you start seeing little steps along the way, little crumbs of opportunity that became a reality. And then people started realizing, and I started realizing, you know, I think I can really do this, because even though you can dream something, that doesn't mean it's going to come true. So right. As you were starting to go up the, like you said, you did the intern, you went up to NYU and, you know, got the master's. But when did it start to fall in place for you, Lindsay?
Sure. I mean, you know, I think that there are a lot of baby steps and milestones along the way. And I was just a self-starter in a way that I would say, okay, I'm going to, by the time I'm 25, I want to be in a top 25 market.
Right.
By the time I'm 30, I want to be at the network. And I made both of those. One, the first goal by the skin of my teeth, because I was just about to turn 25 and I made it to Indianapolis, which was the 25th market. But then, you know, a few months shy of my 30th birthday, I made it here to ABC News. And I've been here now for about 14 years. Mm-hmm. And I would say when I was in local news, I was able to make a lot of jumps. So I started out in Syracuse. It was market like 81. Then I went to Flint, Michigan. It was market 64. Then I went to Indianapolis, market 25. And so I was able to make a lot of those jumps based on, you know, my own goals that I had set. And I would say once I got to the network, it was a little bit harder to set a milestone or set a goal and then achieve it, because, you know, a lot of the people who make it here are very talented, right? And, right. and in some cases, there are some sharp elbows, or in some cases, they may have better relationships, or they may just be better positioned for, you know, opportunity or for growth. And so I think that did become a struggle for me, kind of finding my way once I got here to the network. But I would say when I was given the opportunity in September 2019 to be one of the moderators at the Democratic debate, that was career changing, that moment. And then I went on to moderate another debate again with David Muir and George Stephanopoulos in February of the following year, 2020. And in both cases, you know, people gave very good feedback and reviews of my work sitting there as a moderator. And I think then that was the moment where people thought, oh, wow, you know, you can really do this. Now, that was many years in, right? Into the game that I finally kind of got that recognition that I believed that I was capable of, but, you know, was really kind of waiting for the opportunity.
Well, you know, it's really interesting. We're all involved in journeys, and we're all involved in trying to reach those dreams. And then, but then there's sacrifice, like you mentioned Indianapolis, you mentioned Syracuse. I remember when I left, I immediately got married, and then I moved to New York. And my wife was she's still an optometrist. She stayed in Houston. And so I'm living in New York, and then I moved to L.A., and I lived there, and she still was staying in Houston. So there are sacrifices we all make. And those sacrifices, a lot of people may call them selfish, but they're part of the goals. They're part of the path that you gave. And then you said, Rashawn, that was instrumental when you did the debates. How did the opportunity come to you? And then how did you prepare for that opportunity? Because you knew it was big.
Yes. Well, I think that in part it was due to the Democratic National Committee, because they had set some rules basically so that to prevent the moderator panels from not being diverse. They set some prerequisites, basically, where you had to have diversity by gender or by race. And so I think because ABC had already decided that they were going to have, you know, David and George, and that first debate in September that we had for ABC was going to be at an HBCU. And so I think that there was probably a feeling, no one ever told me, I wasn't in the room when the decision was made that I would be, you know, the third moderator, but I would have to imagine that both of those played into it. Look, I would say that I probably never prepared more for anything in my life than I had for that first debate in September of 2019. You know, I was kept trying to minimize it in my mind so that I wouldn't overhype myself and let the anxiety run too wild. But it was September, and so August leading into it, I remember I'd had a pre-planned vacation, and I was on the beach with a big three ring binders, just studying and researching and reading and preparing. And, it was a lot, but the benefit of it was that by the time, that date came in September, I felt prepared. And I think that preparation gave me confidence, that and prayer, I gotta say, right? But I felt that I was ready on that day. And leading up to it, I wasn't so sure, but I think that there's, you know, the preparation was key. And, you know, I couldn't express to anyone, you know, for whatever kind of position you have, right? No matter what kind of field you're entering into, I think that there's nothing that beats feeling like you're ready.
It's finally here, the season of celebration. And no matter how you celebrate with family and friends, Whether you're preparing for Reyes Magos or Karamu, lighting the menorah, or going to midnight mass, Kohl's has just what you need to make those traditions special. Plus, you'll find gifts for all your loved ones. Send warm wishes with cozy fleeces, sweaters, loungewear, blankets, and throws. Support minority-owned or founded brands by giving gifts from Human Nation and Shea Moisture. Or treat them to everyone's favorite activewear from top brands like Nike, Adidas, and Under Armour. And in the spirit of giving, Kohl's Cares is donating $8 million to local nonprofits nationwide committed to the health and well-being of our communities. No matter how you celebrate, when you shop at Kohl's, you're right where you belong. So this season, give with all your heart with great gifts from Kohl's or Kohl's.com.
What grows in the forest? Trees? Sure. Know what else grows in the forest? Our imagination, our sense of wonder. And our family bonds grow too, because when we disconnect from this and connect with this, we reconnect with each other. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
And we're live here outside the Perez family home, just waiting for the... And there they go! Almost on time this morning. Mom is coming out the front door strong with a double-arm kid carry. Looks like Dad has the bags. Daughter is bringing up the rear. Oh, but the diaper bag wasn't closed. Diapers and toys are everywhere. Ooh, but Mom has just nailed the perfect car seat buckle for the toddler. And now the eldest daughter, who looks to be about 9 or 10, has secured herself in the booster seat. Dad zips the bag closed, and they're off. Ah, but looks like Mom doesn't realize her coffee cup is still on the roof of the car. And there it goes. Oh, that's a shame. That mug was a fam favorite.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Just nail the big stuff. Like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I know, it's and even when you're ready, there's that fear that you're not ready.
Yeah, sure.
And,
sure.
And so, and as you go along and you start building this brand, and let me step back and just talk about news in general, because I'm kind of confused as to what is news and what is commentary, you know, and like what I think, this is my perception, what I think what I see on Fox is commentary, or, and I want you to educate me too. And it's, I think
sure.
What I see you do, what I see, you know, the Lester Holtz and the David Mears of the world, you're doing news to me. What I see a lot of times on CNN and what I see on Fox is a lot of commentary. Am I wrong in saying that? Or it's a blend of news and commentary?
You know, I would say wherever you're hearing a lot of opinions, then that's more editorialized, right? That mm-hmm. is more commentary. And so that's, I guess, up to the viewers to decide, you know, how they want to hear their news presented. Do they want to just get the facts, ma'am, so to speak? Or do you want to hear more of what you already think you know for that to be reinforced by the programming that you watch? And, you know, Fox News, for example, has great ratings. And so I think that in a lot of cases, people do want to hear and get their ideas seconded and get support for, you know, certain arguments that they believe are true. And they may be true. You know, that's, again, up to the viewers to really decide. But, you know, my understanding and what I learned in journalism school was always about just presenting what cannot be debated. Really, right? And so certain facts of, let's say, a house fire cannot be distorted or changed based on your opinion. You know, it was either a 3-alarm fire or it was not. It
really, right.
It either went up in flames at 12 o'clock on Brady Avenue or it did not. And so there are certain styles, I guess, that some of the networks take, especially the cable news outlets take. But for us, it is very much just what the facts. Whatever it is that we're presenting.
Now, I mentioned two of your children's books at the top of your intro. And now you have a third one that came out, Stay This Way Forever, came out in February of this year. How did that develop? How did I'm gonna just say that you're hard charging news, the facts, ma'am, just the facts, ma'am, to a children's, a popular, best-selling author in the children's genre. How did that come about?
So I have a son who's 7. And when I was reading books to him early on, I was thinking, boy, I could do this. And over time that I should do this, because I was having a hard time finding books that had characters who look like him. And I felt that that was really important. And while in general terms, you know, the news industry is very different from, you know, authoring children's books, at the heart, at my center, I consider myself to be a storyteller. And so I felt like it wouldn't be that much of a stretch for me to kind of let my creative juices flow and talk about the good news, really, and uplifting, because quite often what I do with news, which was also kind of part and parcel to this, because my son would want to see mommy doing the news. And I felt like, you know, quite often the subject matter, what we're talking about, is just too much for a young person like he is at this young age. And so writing books, I felt, was something that I could just share with him 100% without any kind of filter or concern about the messaging that was being, you know, instilled in him, but I could use it as a tool to inspire him. And so initially I really focused on the mirror aspect. You know, right. There was an essay a while ago that talked about how you need mirrors, windows, and sliding glass doors in all children's books. The idea of mirrors, so kids can see themselves reflected in the pages of a book's windows, so they can perhaps peer into a world that's unfamiliar to their own. And if that sliding glass door is to really be effective, it can serve as a way to transport them into an unfamiliar world. So with the first book, it was really a matter of, okay, let me provide more mirrors for my son. But ultimately, it really became about, and this was before George Floyd and the summer protests and the so-called racial reckoning.
Lizzie, was that the One Big Heart or The World is Awake? Which one was the first one?
The first one was The World is Awake.
Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm. The second one was One Big Heart. And mm-hmm. that was where I really talked about the need for, or I felt the need for windows in the book so that kids would be able to be exposed to kids who don't look like them. Because I think quite often parents look at books that have black and brown characters and they think, oh, they're just for black and brown children. That couldn't be further from the truth, really, because it does no benefit to your child if they're only seeing mirrors all around them, right? And they only see their own reflection in their books and in their toys and in their neighborhood and their church and their place of worship, or, you know, school or place of worship. And so I felt like parents can start with books and with toys that they're looking to expose themselves or expose their children to more diverse people. And this was something that you heard, especially during the summer and the so-called racial reckoning, where parents were saying, you know, what kind of conversations can I have? How can I raise more empathetic children?
Right.
And I think you can start by giving them a book that has a character who doesn't look like them, right? Mm. And my son has such a diverse book collection that he never talks about the race of the characters who are in the books. And I would venture to say that most kids won't. You know, parents will often say, like, oh, well, kids don't see color. Kids do absolutely see color. They just don't assign a value to color. You know, it's adults who do that. But I think that early on, if they're all used to and accustomed to seeing a variety of shades and hair colors and features in their books, they're not going to point out it as being so foreign and unusual because they're used to being exposed to it. So that's now what I kind of shifted from. In addition to focusing on the mirror, I've found additional value in the window as well.
Now, the Stay Away Forever, that's the third book. Stay This Way, yes, Forever. What is that? What line of communication are you trying to get out through that book?
Yeah, so Stay This Way Forever is really, any parent I think will relate, who's ever thought, boy, I wish I could just freeze this moment in time and press the pause,
yes,
button and, you know, savor these moments that, you know, are fleeting, right? That are going to leave the playground of childhood. And one thing that I would say, there are, you know, half the things that, you know, your kids are going to outgrow. But I would also venture to say there are a lot of qualities that you hope that they bring with them into adulthood. So, you know, my son's curiosity or his creativity and his joy, you know, all the nights that he says, tells me his plans for the next day. And sometimes he'll say, tomorrow's going to be the best day ever. And I hope that he keeps that with him into adulthood, where he's excited about the possibilities of tomorrow. But this was really kind of a way of journaling all the different moments, because you never know when it's going to be the last time that a child, you know, falls asleep in your lap or reaches for your hand to hold, or the pitter patter of feet before they, you know, jump in bed with you in the morning. And so this was kind of paying tribute to all the different stages of childhood. And the theme that has kind of been consistent through my books is the idea of love. The first book is basically know that you're loved by God. The second one is love each other, you know, love your neighbor. And this one is know you're loved by your parents or your grandparents. And I hope that kids will read it and not only know that they're loved, but just how much they're cherished and adored. And especially for the cute little things that they do at these various stages of childhood.
My daughter, she's 23 now. And I always remember, I always tell her my favorite moment, 1 year old, when she was just laying on my chest. She hadn't yet had the ability to push off. She just fell asleep. So I know exactly. And yes. Listen, as you go through that moment, it just takes me back to a place where, you know, I'm glad my daughter's grown. But it's always those precious moments of being able to experience when trying to sit her up to take pictures and the spine wasn't strong enough and you had to put pillows on both sides to get that picture that you want that will stay with you forever. And But I wanted to, before I get out of here, I wanted to say, like, you have a lot of rhymes in your book. Now, I grew up with compunction, function. What's your junk? Compunction.
Yes.
So what are these rhymes and that little flavor there that we can go read out loud, your little rhymes in the book? One day, function, for sure. Come on now, come on, Liz. What we got here? Are these rhymes? Are you rapping?
I love it. So growing up, the books that I read, you know, Shel Silverstein and Dr. Seuss, they were rhyming books.
Absolutely.
And so I just wanted to stay kind of in that genre.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love it. My whole thing, I just wanted to give my audience a look at you. You're a special talent. Let's put it that way. And how did you get there? I'm glad you are willing to share a part of that story, how you get there, because so many people just see the end results. And the end results doesn't really tell the journey. And like I said, I have a journey, and Stephen A. Smith has a journey, Steve Harvey has a journey. So many people, like Nick Cannon has a journey. It's a great job you did on Soul of a Nation with that interview with him. And I love seeing you, and I want to see more interviews out of you. Great and pulling out information and very uncomfortable information and maintaining a very comfortable environment. When you get in those situations, telling my audience as we close out this interview, what are you trying to accomplish the most when you're doing sit-down one-on-one interviews?
You know, I'm a very curious person by nature. And so anybody can go and Google somebody and kind of see a bio or some statements they've made. But I really want to know what was beyond that. You know, what motivates you? What caused you to say that? What caused you to feel that way? Help us to understand and explain, you know, beyond just the superficial surface stuff that we see. So I really want to engage. I want to have in-depth conversation. I always say in my personal life, I never know what questions are appropriate or not, because in my professional work life, I'm able to kind of delve in and ask whatever. But I love having that kind of interaction and engagement with someone just to help us as humans just get to understand why people think or feel or say the things that we do. I think that it's a benefit to us all when we hear, you know, the diverse perspectives that are out there.
Well, I want to thank you, Lindsay, for coming on my show, Money Making Conversation, and sharing your story. And again, the book, please tell your people to send me some. I got a weekly newsletter that goes out to 90,000 people every Thursday at 9 a.m.
Okay.
And I got a little popular social media following, over 1 million. I'd love to post your book and your banners just to additionally put out the brand of you, because you are a great brand and your brand that a lot of young ladies like my daughter look up to. Okay.
Thank you so much, Rashawn. I appreciate you talking with me.
Cool. If you want to hear more or see any of my Money Making Conversation interviews, please go to moneymakingconversation.com or my YouTube channel. I'm Rashawn McDonald. I am your host. Thank you.
In this season of giving, Kohl's has gifts for all your loved ones. For those who like to keep it cozy, find fleeces, sweaters, loungewear, blankets, and throws. Or support minority-owned or founded brands by giving gifts from Human Nation and Shea Moisture. And in the spirit of giving, Kohl's Cares is donating $8 million to local nonprofits nationwide. Give with all your heart this season with great gifts from Kohl's or Kohl's.com.
Honorary Forest Ranger Betty White here, lending a hand to my dear friend Smokey Bear. Because for years, he's only said,
"Only you can prevent wildfires."
But there's a lot more to say. Like, if you park your car on tall, dry grass, the hot exhaust pipe can start a wildfire. So keep the animals safe, especially the cute shirtless one. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
I'm Tanya Sam, host of the Money Moves podcast powered by Greenwood. This daily podcast will help give you the keys to the kingdom of financial stability, wealth, and abundance. With celebrity guests like Rick Ross, Amanda Seales, Angela Yee, Roland Martin, J.B. Smoove, and Terrell Owens, tune in to learn how to turn liabilities into assets and make your money move. I've been getting the money. Subscribe to the Money Moves podcast powered by Greenwood on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. And make sure you leave a review.